B-Pod Studios.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tree Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tucker and Rich, and as we all go through this coronavirus, we would like to bring you some much-needed entertainment. Really helping you and saving you. Rich, what do we have for the people today?
All right, the amount of requests I've had for this bit and another one similar to this, and we're finally giving the people what we want. First, as a prelude to this, Joe Murray, just to, it's a smart idea, just to keep from boredom and to keep his skills sharp. Like around noon every day, he's doing this little video podcast thing called Just Sitting There, of course, you know, in honor of Mark Jamelli. And he has guests on every day. Yesterday, his guest was Sarge. And you know how we were talking about how you can see the inside of everyone's home? Like you had this morning, Dan Roach broadcasting from home, and it's exactly what you would think. It's like a little baseball paradise, complete with little baseball bats and bobbleheads and all that. Well, I'm about to tweet out a photo of yesterday Sarge's house and his background in which he has behind him no less than 8 WWE wrestling belts hanging behind his head.
And by the way, he positioned himself there, too.
Well, like, he hung them. Well, maybe they're already hung there. But yes, he wanted to make sure the world knew that he had belts.
Yeah, because he could have been anywhere in his house. and he decided, and what he said is, he said, no, this is going to be good. this is for the ladies.
I just tweeted that out. It made me laugh. So speaking of something, this is a bit or a segment that I think it's one of the hardest I've ever heard Fred Tucker laugh, and it involves Sarge. Let's go to the tape.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Tucker and Rich, and Sarge, he fills in.
Sub-Zo, Sarge here.
And he came into the Jock Lounge yesterday. He was filling in for Hardy, and he was wearing one of those newsboy caps, and he goes, Sarge, salute.
It's all good, baby.
And there was no kind of irony to it or anything else, no shtick. He was just being Sarge.
I really came to love Sarge as a human being when I was watching the Felger and Maz show one afternoon. And I don't know where Jim Murray was at the time, but Sarge was filling in. And every time he would finish his headlines, he would look directly into the camera and do his sign-off and do this little nod right into the camera. Now, you know what my opinion is of political candidates
right.
who do that. It makes me horribly uncomfortable.
It might cause Ted Cruz the election.
It might, but with Sarge, I had to keep watching to see if he would do it, and sure enough, without fail, every single time.
Sub-Zo, Sarge here.
He would just smolder right into the camera.
Got the camera points right to it like this.
Yep. So he came walking in, and Fred and I looked at each other and was like, we got to do something with Sarge. And we thought, and we had no idea. And this came out of our brains yesterday.
Sup-Zo, Sarge here, and ready to take you on a musical trip to the movies. Sarge sings the cinema. It's all good, baby. Aha!
Okay. Oh, boy.
Now, here's how this is going to work, John. You are going to be our contestant.
All right.
Sarge is going to sing a theme song to a movie that has no words.
Yeah, it's instrumental.
He's along?
They're all instrumental.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you how he's doing it, but yeah, they're all instrumental.
And you have to guess what theme song.
Oh, my Lord.
Comcast has got it. That's just scary.
So you have to guess what theme song Sarge is sarging, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so are you ready to start? So remember, these are theme songs with no words.
Okay.
All right, and he's going to perform them. And you have to guess what the theme is.
Okay. I will try.
All right,
go ahead.
Are you ready, John?
I am.
All right. Take it away, Sarge.
Sup-Zo, it's Sarge here. Aha! It's all good, baby.
I'll go Star Wars.
Sup-Zo, let's go warp speed to some fun, shall we? Sup-Zo, it's Sarge here. Aha! it's all good, baby. I'm staring at you through the camera with Sarge's creepy look.
Well, I'd say you hit a home run with the first one.
Well, let's not go crazy.
It's all good, baby.
Save it, Peanut Gallery. I don't know if the text is working.
We'll let the listeners decide.
Right.
I understand. Yes.
Because part of the fun. But we haven't got a text from. Okay.
Okay.
You ready for song number two?
You stole this from Straight No Chaser?
Oh, okay. Straight No Chaser. Okay. They do the acapella things. That's right. You're absolutely right. Listen, you know, sometimes brilliance steals from brilliance.
All right.
So, John, are you ready for number two?
Song number two.
Sarge
yes.
sings the cinema. Here we go.
Sarge, sup zo.
I have no idea.
I was in the room and I don't know what that is.
I have no idea what that is.
Dan's telling me I came up with this one.
Hey, Fred, you came up with this one. Ready to sail the seven seas? Sarge, sup zo. It's all good, baby. It's all good, baby.
Okay.
You really have to know who Sarge is.
Hey, Zo. Ready to sail the seven seas? Sarge, sup zo. It's all good, baby.
Says nightmares for weeks is what they're getting from this bit.
Okay. Zolak tweets, "You're all dead. I got nothing but time."
All right. Shall we move on to
song three?
Cut number three.
Opens glove box. Looks for CD.
Are you kidding me? Locks doors and windows.
So Sarge sings the cinema. Cut number three. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Take
it away, Sarge.
Sarge.
I actually know this one. I got this one. This is Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Sup, Zo?
Yeah.
Sarge here. Wanna beam up? It's all good, baby. Sarge. Sup, Zo. Sarge. Watching you, so. It's all good, baby.
Oh, God. Ow.
Sarge.
Oh, ow.
That makes me pissed I missed Jaws earlier.
Yeah. So what are you?
I got two out of three.
Well, yes. We got two more.
We do? Yeah, okay. How much before I get the hell of a good cheese gift certificate? How many more do I need?
Bit end with Sarge getting hit in the face with a frying pan? Someone says, this is terrible.
Wrong. That's completely wrong. This is awesome.
All right. Cut number four.
Yeah.
If Sarge sings the cinema.
Okay.
Can you name... this movie thing.
Sarge.
Okay, I actually know this one too. I messed up a mind. This is Chariots of Fire, Rich.
Sup, Zo? Sarge here. Let's go for a run, shall we? Sarge. Sup, Zo.
All right, so you got that one. That's correct. Pretty good. You got that one.
So it says, "I'm glad
it's all good, baby."
Yeah, it is. I'm glad someone is having fun with his bit.
Sarge.
Maybe the worst bit in 2016. And look at it. So there's only been
That's going to haunt
me. Only been
the Close Encounters is going to haunt me for a long time.
That's right. It's been 2 days. All right. So,
someone says they're under the bed terrified. Someone says Zoe turned around in his car and is driving to Montana.
I'm watching you.
All right. Your final one. Yeah. Sarge sings the cinema. Okay. Are you ready, John?
Yes.
All right. Let's go.
Sarge. Sup-so. Sarge.
I have no clue.
No idea.
No idea.
You sure?
Oh, yeah. No clue.
Sub-so, let's go on a little spy mission, shall we? Sarge. It's all good, baby. Sarge at Sarge 95. Sarge. Sup-so. Sarge.
I'm so angry I missed this.
Someone says, what's the matter with you? Are you guys on
it's
crack?
All good, baby.
This is up there with the Different Strokes 8 ball. Was this Fred's idea? And if so, was he on Ambien?
Hey, Zoe, ready to seal the seven seas? Sarge, sub Zoe. Sarge, sub Zoe. Sarge, sub Zoe. Sub Zoe. It's all good, baby.
Play the Close Encounters one. That's the one.
All right.
That's going to haunt me. Do that one.
Sup, Zoe. Sarge here. Want to beam up? It's all good, baby. Sarge. Sup, Zoe. Sarge. I'm watching you, Zoe.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Genius.
Sarge sings the cinema.
Send that one to the Marconis.
That's right, baby.
It's all good.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Dan Shonka, with lots of front office experience in the NFL, he puts out a extremely comprehensive guide to the NFL draft.
Just in one place, I've never seen more information on everybody in this draft.
Oh yeah,
it's than the RLADS like, guide. It's awesome.
Yeah, it looks like something that pro teams would put out. Joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Mr. Shonka. Hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning to you. All right, let's get down to it. Patriots picking a little bit higher than usual. Obviously, they need help at tight end. I see that you have basically two highly ranked tight ends. Do you think they're worthy of what number one pick, or do you think that if they are, do you think that they'd be available when the Patriots are up?
No. Well, I tell you, now Kmet may be, he's a second round guy basically. And so I think that, he may be available. It just depends. I mean, there's not a ton of tight ends, although it depends what you're looking for, a multiple move guy, or a big, strong inline blocker like Kmet. But he certainly, with all those picks, I think if New England's going to pull the trigger on Kmet, they'll probably have to, like they do, back out of there, trade that pick, and then go ahead and take Kmet. I mean, they could take him there, but I think he's more of a second round guy than I think there's a better value at first round at another position.
Well, Dan, this is the silly season, and there's rumors about everyone moving up and down all over the place. This always happens before the draft, everyone posturing. But the Patriots more than likely will probably get a quarterback at some point in this draft. One of the biggest rumors right now is that the Patriots might actually try to find a way to package up a bunch of picks, maybe even including next year's first rounder, in order to go up and get Justin Herbert. I guess they like him. Is he somebody, in your opinion, that is worth giving up next year's first-round pick to go and get?
Well, that's interesting because I think that he's an excellent developmental guy. I think that one thing that he needs work on is that – and I don't know if you can learn it. I don't know if it's a learned skill, but – I think his anticipation and being able to cut that ball loose instead of – he hesitates just a little bit. And as we know, if you hesitate, you're lost, and the greatest defensive backs in the world are going to pick that ball off. But I think if he can just – you know, he's a very, very cerebral guy, super smart off the field, learns everything on the field. But I just think that synapse from his brain to his hand, boom, you know, hit it right now. If he can get by that, he's worth, you know, whatever the team feels like he is worth. Now, I don't think I would do it, but, I mean, I'm not Bill Belichick and have six world championships, you know. I mean, Bill will figure out a way if they decide he's the guy. But I'll tell you, that's a long way to go, and they do have some they do have some hardware there to get up there. So, you know, he may try to make that move.
Who's your sleeper quarterback?
I'm sorry. What about James Morgan from Florida International?
Oh, yeah.
He's been linked to the Patriots. What are your feelings on him?
I'll tell you what. Had him down at the East-West Shrine Bowl. I saw him every day. Tremendous leader, tremendously smart. I would go in and watch film at night, and I had to kick James Morgan out of his seat. Not really. He had first priority, but he was always there studying film. I mean, he's a guy that wants to be good. Now, the only thing about he's a classic drop-back quarterback. He'll get that ball out quick and all that. The thing about James is he's just not mobile. I mean, we did see Tom Brady, I know, for 20 years. But, I mean, James is very similar type of foot quickness as Tom. So he's strictly a drop-back guy, understands what he can do in the pocket, smart kid that, he's got strong arm. He cuts the ball loose quickly. And he'll be 100% gym rat studying all the time about the upcoming opponent.
All right, so Dan Shonka from Our Lads, he's got one of the most comprehensive draft guides that I've ever seen. And since you've done all of this research, I heard Burt Breer the other day talking about how Miami has just gone to new levels of researching Tua because of the lack of any kind of medical tests that they're able to get and things like that. I mean, this is a very strange time when it comes to the draft. Of all the research that you've done, how confident would you be in drafting Tua far up? Like, I mean, is he a guy? I think you have him ranked sixth right now, but I mean, are you confident if you're a team with a high pick of picking him in the draft this year?
No, actually, now the way that you put together your board and things like that, you've got to evaluate the player on what he is, okay? And Tua is a terrific quarterback. Very accurate, very smart, throws the ball right on time. His anticipation is outstanding. He's got deep ball strength, but okay, the injuries are a major, major problem. I would not draft him. Okay, I would say if he survives the next 3, 4, 5 years, I might go after him in free agency if he's available, but I'm going to let somebody else roll those dice and show me that I'm wrong because, I mean, he's a chronically injured football player, and when you get in the National Football League, if you're not injured, you know you're going to be, and if you've got an injury history, it's not good for you.
Wow. So how do you think he's going to drop, or do you think that there's a team that's going to take him despite everything you just said?
Well, you know, you guys are saying it. You're going, well, gosh, why now? Al Davis isn't around anymore. He took the strangest of picks, you know, and a lot of them didn't work out for him. Some did. But I just think that after the teams got him on their sideboard and would take him at the right spot, which might mean second round, third round, put him on PUP, see what happens in a year. But, you know, all these doctor reports and all that stuff that come out, that's for a person, I'm sure, that's just, you know, walking down the street, going out playing golf, things like that. But having 300-pound linemen throwing at your body and things like that, I don't think that they are considering that when they're saying, hey, this guy's great, ready to play, da-da-da. So I think that if we start seeing him go down the elevator shaft, we know why, that other teams, too, are going to pass on him, let somebody else get him. And, you know, there'll be somebody, say he does start dropping into the 10, 12 range, somebody's going to go up and say, hey, we can get him at the right price. Let's pull the trigger on him. So he's going to be a first-round guy. But I think that all the teams are doing their due diligence, that are going to understand what they're getting.
If you're the Patriots, you know, and you're not positive what you have a quarterback and you want to have a battle, is Tua, if he fell, someone you'd be interested in?
I think they'd certainly consider him, especially with the tie between Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. I mean, you know, Bill respects guys that had coached with him, and Saban and Kurt Ferentz and, you know, his circle are going to give, I think Nick would give, you know, Bill a great rundown and give him the full fact. Because when I used to visit Nick wherever he was at, he would tell you the exact truth about the guy, you know, and then you make your decision if you want to take him or not. And I would assume, as close as they are, he's going to tell, you know, he's going to tell Bill exactly what the deal is. And, you know, and at, like I said, at the right price, if he slides a little, say he slides in the middle of the first round or even a little bit later, I think that it's very conceivable that they would consider him.
How important is it this year in terms of that they don't have a second-round pick? I know that they have a bunch in the third round, but I know there's a lot of wide receiver talent in the second round. I'm not sure if they would go there again because they kind of whiffed last year, it seems. But how much are they going to miss that second-round pick?
Well, this year, depending on what they're going after, I don't think, you know, if you want to get some receivers, you're going to get receivers or some offensive linemen, you know, even in that third and fourth round. So I think this draft is really strong in that those middle areas, like the third round or the fourth round. So I don't think, you know, the Patriots are going to miss anything. And of course, you can always package things up. And if you have a trade partner, which most likely would be Detroit, it looks like. I don't know what they got left over there, but, you know, they might package something up. And if they see somebody they wanted you know, make that move that way. But, no, I think there's a lot of really good talent in that third and fourth round area.
Specifically, because I know that there's a drop-off, they say, at offensive tackle after, after probably pick 12 or something. You do see value in the third round at the offensive line position?
Yeah, you know, I tell you, there's a terrific athlete up in your neck of the woods in Connecticut, in Pert. He's a very athletic guy, long, and he's an ascending player. And I think he's going to be available in the third round. A big tackle at Georgia, wide-bodied guy, Isaiah Wilson. And, I mean, he's about a 350-pound tackle that can move his feet. He's going to be available. And if you want a Prince to go along with all those Super Bowl championships, there's one at Auburn, Prince Owengo, who's from a family of troop prince and princesses. And he's a very athletic guy, and he's going to be available in the third round. So I think that there is definitely some talent. Guys that are long, they got long arms, can move their feet, and are smart.
All right. Do you think the kid from Iowa State's the best player in the draft, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you were ranking talent, who, and not by, you know, importance of the position, because everyone knows quarterback is most important. If you were ranking the players in the draft, who is your second best player?
Well, you'd have to, and then again, you go with the quarterback. You know,
right.
you're looking at Burrow right now, but then you've got Isaiah Simmons. Isaiah Simmons is going to be in that mix. He's going to be up toward the top. And then we love Derrick Brown. We think Derrick Brown is going to be a annual Pro Bowl player, outstanding football player. And so you go, right on down the line there that Okuda, defensive back from Ohio State, he's in our top five. But our top five are Young, Burrow, Simmons, Okuda, Brown. And then we've got athletically now, and what he's done in his career, we got Tua up there. But again, like I said, you got to incorporate now the injury history and have your doctors really make that decision. Then we like Tristan Wirfs, the big tackle out of Iowa, Herbert from Oregon, and then Jerry Jeudy from Alabama after that. And then we got another tackle in our top 10 or 12 with Andrew Thomas from Georgia. So, I think there's some really good top 10 talent there.
Mike Lockhart has asked me to ask you this. What do you think about Harrison Bryant, the tight end, and if the Pats could grab him in the third round? And what do you think about his potential?
He's an excellent pass receiver. He's got some grit as a blocker. He's not going to inline block and knock your head off, but he's going to screen you off. But he runs really good. I tell you what he is, Dallas Clark. You know, if you remember Dallas Clark for Indianapolis, he's not as fast as Dallas, but in regards to route running, getting open, catching the ball, things like that, he's a lot like Dallas Clark, but he's not as fast. Dallas ran the 4.5 area, and high 4.4s, and it was an extreme, he could, leap off the board. But Brian, I think that would be a very good third-round pick if he's there in the third.
All right, Mike Shonka, he of our lads.
Dan Shonka.
Oh, Dan Shonka, I'm sorry. Dan Shonka, I'm sorry. I'm broadcasting from home. All right, so Dan Shonka from our lads, if you're looking for by far the most comprehensive coverage of the NFL draft, and I mean by far the most comprehensive coverage, go to ourlads.com. Mr. Shonka, thank you so much for the time, sir.
You betcha. Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure being with you, and thanks a lot for having me on.
All right. We appreciate it. Thank you. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Dutcher and Rich. By the way, Rich has been tweeting out the background of Dan Roach's house. It's got a bunch of baseball stuff that I don't even think is worth anything. There's just a picture of Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, and I'm like, all right. And then he sent something to Rich where he's got some, like, Dali-esque picture of the animal kingdom.
Yeah. So what happened was I tweeted him back, and I said, your living room is sorely lacking anything Disney. And I said, I'm disappointed in you. And he put, this is right in front of me on the wall. It keeps the motivation of what lies ahead for when we return to some sense of normalcy. Hashtag circle of life. Hashtag have a magical day. And you're right. It's like this oil painting
of
Animal Kingdom. And it's got all these animals on it.
Can you imagine if your motivation for being able to, for when you're able to be free again is going to the Animal Kingdom?
Oh.
Like you're sitting around and you're like, you know what? I'm feeling down, but as soon as this thing ends, I'm going to the animal kingdom.
Well, Crash is what tweeting out stuff. You know, people say that it's going to be tough going back to Disney, and this is what I say. And it's him, like, you know, the Kermit the Frog drinking a little cup, except it's him with a Disney World mug.
Now, who is this?
Crash.
Oh, God. I've never been texted more by Crash, because I think Crash is, like, alone, and I think he's doing his broadcast from his house.
Yeah.
So, like, I think around 7 o'clock at night, Crash has lost his mind, and he's just, like, putting things up, like, Disney! Disney! There you go. That's the motivation for Dan Roach getting out. And by the way, it's not like he has little kids and we're going to go a little, you know, and this will be a present to them. No, it's just like, hey, I'm an adult. I'm going to go down to the Animal Kingdom and look at some of the animals.
Don't you dare crush his Disney dreams. That's all that's keeping him going through these dark times, Fred. Come on.
Well, if you don't have the sweet crack of the bat, I mean, that's got to be tough for him. That's got to be very tough for him.
By the way, and with all the serious stuff that's going on right now, and there's a lot, there's nothing really more serious than a judgment that we are going to have to make right now.
Oh, boy. Mm. Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Yes.
Fart court is now in session. When the listeners say, hey, I think I heard a fart on TV or on the radio. We spring into action. We are there for you to make a judgment. Although somebody sent me one that apparently happened on the Zoic and Bertrand show, which I have not dug through yet, which I might have to.
Well, it's Zoic, and he'll deny it.
Yeah, Zoic. Well, Zoe has farted before, like during that. He was doing an interview with
the NFL Network or whatever.
Yeah, the NFL Network, and like I mean, we all heard it. And, you know,
I'm looking at San Francisco right now as being a front runner to get Josh.
That's a Zoic fart.
There's no question
that's what that was.
Zoe, come here. Tell me if this is a fart or not. Play the Zoic clip. I don't tell you when.
All right, I'm looking at Zoic
farts here. Right,
okay, you ready? Zoe, you ready?
No. I'm looking at San Francisco right now as being a front runner to get Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she deemed it a fart, Fred. I think there's no question.
The youngest member of the jury has confirmed that is indeed a fart.
Now, this was sent to us from a listener. I was not watching this at the time as it happened. This is an interview that Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs, just how dirty are these jobs? Mike Rowe was doing an interview on Good Morning America. He's apparently written a brand new book with what looks like his 80-year-old mother. And during the clip, his mother of 80 years old or so was being interviewed. And I need your opinion, ladies and gentlemen of the court. Is this fart?
But your book about your father and us other celebrities, you tell such wonderful, relatable stories. How did you go about selecting what you were going to put in your book, Peggy?
I'm honored that you read my book, and even more so that you found it enjoyable and laughed. I've been writing articles and stories for newspapers and magazines for years.
All right. Is that
okay? All right. That is an old lady. Yeah. It's an old lady, Lucy Goosey. And I bet you $1 million she'd even know she did it.
No, that's the key. No, you get to a certain age, you don't hear it anymore. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a question.
Let me just tell you my theories.
Okay.
Is that A, I used to have a guy who cut my hair that was like 80, and he would walk around and just like, and he had no idea he was farting.
So you are familiar with the tone of an 80-year-old wind being broken through a flappy old butt cheeks.
That is a butt that's been through its paces. You know, that's a butt that saw the Great Depression. I mean, that is a butt, you know, that is familiar with, you know, with life.
Okay, and even more so that you found it enjoyable and laughed.
Yeah. Yeah.
She has not a clue that happened.
Found it enjoyable and laughed. I'm honored that you read my book, and even more so that you found it enjoyable and laughed.
That was, I knew it was going to sound like that. I knew it was going to be an old lady one. Just
five calls, smells it all. 617-779-0985.
This has been the most scatological show of all time.
Listen, these are the important things that people need to have. I mean, it's an important time with important issues that need to be tackled. So,
okay, right,
because you could say, was that somebody going, you know, in the background? Maybe that was Robin Roberts who was doing
that
the interview.
That would have been rude, though. Like, because like, you made her pause. All right, 617-779-0985. We don't have all day. So let's get
laugh.
Play again.
Okay, just play, Dan, let me hear it. Got it?
I'm honored that you read my book, and even more so that you found it enjoyable and laughed.
Because if it was anyone, like, under the age of 60,
yeah,
I'd be like, no. That is an 80-year-old just letting it fly.
You see,
I'm honored that you read my book, and even more so that you found it enjoyable and laughed.
You see, I think my grandfather, because he was the one guy who was old and farted around me, and my grandfather had the gift. Like, he was flappy till he was in his casket. I mean, it was like a bassoon. Like, he had the gift. I've never been around this. You said that you've experienced some time around a gentleman who cuts your hair. I'm not familiar with the high tenor of a.
Found it enjoyable and laughed.
No, there's
found
a.
It enjoyable and laughed.
No, there's a. There's. She didn't know she did it. She has no idea that she did it. She's just sitting there, and it's as plain as day. Have you ever walked behind, like, had to walk behind someone old, and it's just.
It's just like effortless. It's like breathing.
There's no effort. There's no muscle control. It's just air going in and out.
All right, five calls, smells it all.
Well, maybe not five. Mike, go ahead.
I'm gonna go with definitely. There's also the thing that it's kind of in the same key as the Brookline 911 guy. You know, yeah, kind of in that same pitch.
Mike, put that in my group. I need that in my group.
She's probably nervous because she's like, you know, because this is her big thing. She's on national television.
Right.
And then so maybe she ate prunes. I mean, there's many things in an older person. She probably had oatmeal at like 3 a.m. Bruce, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Fred, you make an impelling case, but I'm going to go with no. I'm going with Rich here. I think it was Robin Roberts just acknowledging the comment there. So I got to go with a no.
I'm leaning towards Fred on this one. Like, I'm presenting the evidence because it would be unfair otherwise. We have to keep this, you know, above board. We don't want this to be a kangaroo fart court.
So. I'm honored that you read my book, and even more so that you found it enjoyable and laughed.
I mean, she does pause. It almost sounds like there's a little bit of a breath holding there, too.
No, they don't know what they're doing. It's just... All right, Brad, this is the final listener vote. Brad, go ahead.
Yes, I believe that is definitely a fart.
Yeah, old lady fart. No question about it.
Definitely.
All right, so what deemed the court...
Ladies and gentlemen of the court, I believe it has been deemed officially a fart. Let it be written. Let it be done. My
oldest
mother has farted on Good Morning America.
The oldest fart we've had. I mean, we're constantly groundbreaking here on Fart Corp.
We are breaking ground. That is the oldest fart, I do believe. Because up until that point, was it Tim Russert? Did he have the oldest fart?
Russert or Nancy Grace. Dan says windbreaking. That was the first, that was the most windbreaking of all the things that we've done, all the fart courts. All right.
I'm honored that you read my book, and even more so that you found it enjoyable and laughed.
Why? Yeah, because why would Robin Roberts go, Like, that doesn't make any... Yeah, she wouldn't. All right. Well, listen, I'm glad that's out of the way. So now we can get back to business. Now that mystery's been solved.
I have to say, I wonder if this has got it in it. I'm not sure if it does, but let me see.
Hey, that's
not it. I was looking for the, ooh, the guy goes, ooh. Oh, maybe this is it. Let me see.
They were laughing at me.
Okay.
And they were laughing about it.
Okay, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Oh.
You know found it enjoyable and laugh. Found it enjoyable and laugh.
Good for the listener.
Same tone.
What a keen ear. Mm. All right. Charlotte Wilder, I'm sure, has never been more pleased to follow something than that. We will have her on to talk about... she uncovered some information about Tom Brady. We'll have her on in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.